preach. Faith requires you to take a step in obedience to God. Not when you feel it, especially when you don't feel it, because it can be a sacrifice when you don't feel it. Would you believe that sometimes I get up on a Sunday morning and I don't feel like going to church? I tell my wife, honey, I don't want to go to church. Give me one good reason why I should go to church. What, you're the pastor? You know. But I don't come based on my feelings. Sometimes I don't feel like worshiping, but when I start doing it, you know, when I start doing it out of obedience to God's word, the Bible says, clap your hands, Psalms 47:1. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm winning the battle right now. Well, then shout. And then those walls are going to come down. That's the way faith works. Here's a good definition of faith. Hebrews 11:1. You know, if you break that down to just every man's language, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. That's King James Version, kind of hard to understand. Faith is speaking and acting like something's happened before it happens. Remember last Sunday, I was telling you about my father, who he was raised in the Mennonite church tradition. We didn't believe in miracles, that miracles were over with the book of Acts. Although, by the way, the book of Acts, unlike most other books in the New Testament, does not end with amen, because the Acts of the Apostles are still happening. But we didn't believe in it. But when my dad snuck into a big tent revival of T.L. Osborne and Gordon Lindsay that was up in the eastern Pennsylvania area, he was 22 years old. They just got married, mom and dad. They snuck in the back of this tent. He says there were 5,000 people there. And so they heard for the first time a real message on faith. And what they heard is that they needed to declare that something had happened before they saw the evidence of it happening, that was faith. Well, my dad had a chronic stammering and stuttering condition his whole life. He went through school with the shame of not being able to speak without stuttering, to a terrible fault. And he lived with it. But when he heard that faith message, he just started declaring, according to the word of God, by his stripes, I was healed. The work is done. All that God is going to do has been done. Now I just have to believe it and declare it like I believe it. Now, Mark 11:22, 23, and 24. You know, and so he got a hold of that and he just started declaring it while he was stuttering. He was declaring, according to the word of God, I'm healed. And some of his family and friends, you know, are patting him on the back and saying, it's okay. It's okay. Everything's going to be all right. You know, in other words, you just need to learn to live with that. But my dad kept confessing it. And he says in his book, Following the Fire, you can read the whole story. He said that he didn't know if he might have to do that the rest of his life. But he had purpose. He's going to just keep declaring that the rest of his life. He said at least he knew that when he died, he'd go to heaven, he'd be healed in heaven, right? Well, he had to do that for 6 weeks. He had to do that. And one morning he woke up and his tongue was free, he says, and he was able to speak. But he had to declare it even in the midst of the problem. That's faith. So when we come to church like this, that's what many of you are doing. You haven't seen with natural eyes yet the victory, but you're declaring it. And that's why we sing songs like that and we say, live, live, dry bones. You're speaking to yourself. You're speaking to that sickness. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live, rise up, live. And because the Word of God doesn't say, talk to God about your problems. He already knows what you have need of before you ask, the Bible says. But what the Bible says is talk to your problems about your God. Declare to your sickness. Hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones, sickness in my body. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're responding right now. So give me my screens. We've been talking about fanning into flame the gift of God, which is in you. Put your hand on your heart. Say, God is in me. Every time we talk about the glory of the Lord is here, and we're singing songs about the glory of the Lord is here. I can feel him in the atmosphere. Well, I always want you to remember to do this. You'll see me doing this. The glory of the Lord is here. You know, heaven is here. When Jesus said, pray this way, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say on earth. We say on earth because we are on earth. But he said in earth as it is in heaven. You know, we were made from the dust of the earth, or at least the men were made from the dust of the earth. Women, you were made from a spare rib. Okay? But it's time, church, listen to me when I say this. We are crossing over. We're crossing over from the wilderness where we say, God, help me. God, help me. I need food. I need water. I need help. We're moving over into the land of conquest and victory, the promised land. And what this is, it's a transition into a life of faith. Declaring things that are not as though they were. That's how Jesus performed miracles. He said, you're healed. Wait a minute. I still feel crippled. Get up. Take up your bed and walk. Well, if you got to be mean, then maybe I will try to get up. Whoa, what's happening? See what I mean? That's faith. Now, we're talking about the Word of God. And we started out kind of light, saying you got to read the Word. Then I said, better yet, faith without works is dead. You got to do the Word. Well, I don't know how to do it. Well, then practice. Practice the word. Like a doctor practices medicine on you. Oh, yeah. It's a medical practice. And like we pay lawyers so they can practice law, we pay them to study and practice on us. I'm messing with you a little bit here. Are you smiling all the way in the back, too? Okay. We're practicing the word, and here's why. We want to possess the promises of the Word. I said last week, all the promises in this Word are prophecies. You know, we always want to get a prophecy. But the word promise sounds a little softer than a prophetic word. Well, they started out as prophetic words, and then we defined them as promises. But remember, all the promises, all the promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in his word all the time. There you go. All the promise in the book is mine. Wow, where did that come from? We haven't sang that in a while, have we? Sunday school. That's right. But we have to lay hold on this stuff. It's time to cross over. So we're looking at the Jordan River. We want to cross over from the wilderness to the promised land. I want you to turn to the book of Joshua. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 3. Last week, I'm just reviewing. God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Now, that was a word for Israel. But every scripture in this book is God-breathed. It has a literal meaning, and it also has a metaphoric or spiritual meaning. As we take that spiritual meaning, we also have an inheritance. If you look in the New Testament, Galatians 3:29 says, if ye be Christ, if you're Christians, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. The Bible says, God says, we are joint heirs with Christ. If you're an heir, you're a child of God the Father, and you have an inheritance. The Bible tells us what our inheritance is. We are heirs. We're sons of Abraham. In Genesis 12 and verse 2, God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. We are a part of a great nation, the kingdom of God. And he said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. I'm going to bless you so you can bless others. We operate under that same Abrahamic promise because we are sons of Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right hand, left hand, right foot, left foot. And it goes on and on and on. Hallelujah. Let's contrast the wilderness with the promised land, because some people, they've gotten comfortable in the wilderness. Why not? God, feed me. God, I need water. I need this. I need that. I just want to complain all the time. That is not faith. God calls that an evil report. Amen. And you're judged by it. You're eating the fruit of your lips from that. We don't understand this, but death and life is at the power of the tongue. The Bible says that you will eat those words. You'll eat the fruit of whatever you speak. In the wilderness, and the wilderness has a purpose, God deals with his people. I said last week, it's like God's boot camp. That's where God brings correction. His spotlight is on you. But the promised land is where God wants us to go. It's where God deals with the enemy. We're still going to have battles, but as we transition into this life of faith, we're going to see victories. Come on. No victory without a battle.
That's right.
No promotion without a test.
Come on.
But in the promised land, we have the opportunity to win battles and to be promoted. And that promotion is God doing the work through us. God shining the spotlight through us. We become the light of the world.
Hallelujah.
In the last days, this is what I think is happening. The remnant church is rising up to be the light of the world. And the world cannot deny it. As the earth gets darker, and I don't think it's going to get any better. It's probably going to get worse. We hear in the scripture wars and rumors of wars. We think it's bad right now. There's one war going on. There's probably more going on, but they're not being reported on. But what if this breaks into multiple wars? We've got multiple enemies.
That's right.
Could be multiple wars. What does it matter? Forget about it, right? Our eyes are not on those natural wars. Our eyes are on the spiritual battle. And we're winning
the
spiritual battle.
Hallelujah.
So here's what I want to review with you. I told you I'm giving you 8 keys to crossing over. 8 keys to crossing over. This is review last week. Number one, so read it with me. You possess what you confess. You possess what you confess. You know, this is a principle in God's word. Whatever comes out of your mouth, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. The first chapter in Joshua, God came to Joshua and said, you're on the bank. You're ready to cross over. But for you to cross over into the promised land, I'm going to give you one important key to crossing over. You've been 40 years in the wilderness. Now you're going to cross over. Here's the key. Here it is. Watch your mouth. That's an amplified version.
Amen.
Phillips translation. Well, maybe it isn't, because there is a translation like that. Watch your mouth. He said, keep my word in your mouth, not just in your heart, but be declaring the truth. The second thing that we learned last week, let's read it together. God's time is the right time. You say, well, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Well, in the process of time, all through Scripture. In this story, it happened in 3 days. In my dad's example, with his stammering, it happened in 6 weeks. What if it's 3 years? What if it's 30 years? What if it never happens on this side of glory? Hebrews 11 says that you would be among those that never saw the promise in this life. Here's what the word says about you. The earth isn't worthy of you. You have a greater reward if you kept declaring the truth and you never saw it in the natural. Hallelujah. Guess what? That's not a long time anyway. Think of how many years we have left compared to eternity. Here's the third thing we learned last week. Let's say it together. Understand divine authority. You know, the enemy will try to get you at every turn, if he can, to... I needed more light, did I? Okay. All of a sudden, the glory of the Lord. When you come to church, that's why I talk about worshiping the Lord. The enemy will say, you don't feel like it. You don't want to worship today. Don't be a hypocrite and just go through the motions. Oh, that's a lie. You'll be a hypocrite if you don't go through the motions. Because faith requires it of you. If you don't go through the motions, you're not obeying God. Amen. So I'm teaching you the ways of faith because divine authority is up here. I said last week, sometimes the worship leader said, let's all just raise our hands and worship. And the enemy wants to tell some people, you can't tell me how to worship. I'm not going to raise my hands. Well, what if God is waiting for us to get into one accord so he can show up? What if the time would come when all of us 100% would raise our hands in one accord? God might step out of the realm of glory into the realm to be seen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's the fourth one last week. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the giants. We're going to get in this a little further now because in our story, they kept their eyes on the ark. They were commanded by Joshua, keep your eyes on the ark. The ark represents the presence of God. That was the presence of God then. And God said, keep your eyes on the ark. Let's go to number 5. I'm going to give you 4 more today. The rewards follow the requirements. In Joshua 3:5, Joshua said to the people, sanctify or consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among us. Consecrate yourself. What does that mean? You know, in Israel, in Orthodox Judaism, and all through the Old Testament, it meant to physically take a bath, get cleaned up. For us today, it means rend your hearts, not your garments. You know, I love it when I see sometimes during the worship time, especially in an appropriate song, when people come to the altar and kneel down. Sometimes people are running to the altar and kneel down. You know, all through Scripture, whenever God showed up, you know, like in a miracle or something, people's response to it was, woe is me, I'm undone. I've seen a miracle. I'm in the presence of God. You know, and it causes us to want to repent. Let's never get so hard-hearted that we don't have more repentance to do. Because this idea of consecrating ourselves, listen, don't ever get caught up in this idea of once saved, always saved. Now, I believe it's hard for the enemy to claw you out of God's hands. Don't get me wrong, but God gives us a will. If you want to turn your back on God and run, you know, God, he can't stop you. Now, you can turn around and he's right there. You turn around, boom, he's right there. Yeah. That quickly, you can repent and get back on track. Amen. But the enemy will do everything he can to keep you in a place that you're not living with a heart of repentance. Every day, if you have to, consecrate yourself. James 4:8 says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What's a double-minded man? It says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know what modern day double-minded can be? Is that you come to a service like this and you praise God with all your might. You're dancing at the front and carrying on for God. And that's good. But you walk out of here and you don't live out what you've been declaring, what you say you believe. You know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know, people's eyes here are not on you, but God's eye is on you. And what that does is it keeps you from crossing over into the promises that God has for your life. Jesus said, I sanctify myself. Imagine Jesus saying that. He's our example in that. Here's the statement I want to make. Wilderness experiences alone don't purify. You must make the decision to change. You must make the decision to change. Jeanette, I remember 6 years into our marriage when we had a big, never-ending fight. It was over. Now, just to, you know, put you at peace, we've been married 46 years or 47?
46.
Going on 47. Wanted to be sure. Yeah. So we've been married 46 years, but 6 years into our marriage, it was over. We were separating our earthly belongings. I remember Jeanette saying, that television's mine. My mother gave it to us. Remember that, honey? And we didn't have much else, so that was a big deal, right? But let me tell you what we did. We both were raised right. We knew the ways of God. We knew the ways of faith. We made a decision to dig in and apply God's word, whether we felt like it or not. That's what saved our marriage. We made a decision. I've preached before that love is not a feeling. Love is a decision followed by a commitment. You decide every day whether you're going to love your spouse. And you'd be good to just tell her that you love her. It doesn't go without saying. Make the declaration. Right now, if you're married with somebody next to you, just tell them right now. Tell them right now. Carlos, tell her right now that you love her. See? Look at that. What's that? Oh, go tell her. I already told her this morning. I love you, honey. There you go. Okay. Now, don't be doing any of that kissing if you're not married yet. We'll do that when we tie the knot, right? I want you to get this because I've said before, you know, that God's love is unconditional. John 3:16, for God so loved the world before they got saved that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the next verse says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So I'm saying God's love, he'll love you to salvation. The goodness of God draws men to repentance. But make no mistake about it. The blessings of God, the rewards of God are conditional. They're a result of obedience. And so Joshua was told by God to have the people sanctify themselves. And I believe you can do that by just humbling yourself. Repent before God and repent of whatever it is God brings to your mind. I got to go on. In verse 8, God says, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. I want to bring this point out because I believe that there's the part of this process of getting into a life of faith is the willingness to just take a stand. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You ever heard that? I think that's a good statement. What are we going to stand for? It's interesting that if you study Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 13, you'll get into all the armor of God. But the armor of God isn't just about fighting. It's about standing, taking a stand, having done all to stand. Well, what else? I've done everything. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? I've done everything. I've tried everything. Well, just stand. And then it goes on to say, and as you stand, then do this, do that. But taking that stand, sometimes we've got to wait patiently for it. Romans 8:25, if we have hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. They that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Hallelujah. They shall run and not be weary. I saw an eagle this week. Well, I've got hawks always flying around my yard, but I saw an eagle. Wow, how majestic, you know, and that thing wasn't even flapping, just soaring, just soaring, just catching the winds. And, you know, it would go up high to where I could barely see it. And then it would come back down. It never flapped its wings. Beautiful, just flying on the wind of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? That's like us. Okay, where are we at? Verse 8. I'm trying to go verse by verse. But Joshua, I'll put it on the screen. Let me move you on to verse 15. Verse 15. You take the first step by faith. Now the Jordan is at flood stage during all the harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing all the way up to Adam. And then downstream, down to the Dead Sea, it just puddled out. And they walked across on dry land. Somebody say, wow.
Wow.
Wow. How God moves. So when you stand, sometimes you got to take a stand, then almost immediately or as soon as you can, take the first step. And I really believe the easiest first step is to make a declaration. Make a declaration. You know, when I was reading this week, I was reminded of an event that happened here when a grandmother that attends here, and you may be here this morning, brought her grandson to a miracle service. Actually, it was 2 weeks before the miracle service. I declared that we were going to have a miracle service. And I said, people are going to be healed at this service. And I just started declaring. I said, people with deaf ears are going to be open. People that have chronic pain in their bodies are going to be healed. And I was just making that declaration. Well, there was a grandmother sitting over here in this section, maybe Don about on that row, I think it was. She's sitting there with their grandson. And he heard me say this, maybe about an 8-year-old boy. And he had a deaf ear. And he said to his grandmother, Mother, Grandma, let's come back to that service because I'm going to be healed. My deaf ear is going to be healed. Well, when they went home, he just kept saying it. He kept declaring. He kept believing it. And she'd been a stalwart of the faith, you know, walking in the faith for years and years. And she didn't want him to be disappointed. So she said, well, son, just know that, you know, God doesn't always heal right away. You know, she's trying to brace him for the possibility that he wouldn't be healed in that service. But he kept saying, no, Grandma, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be healed. I know I'm going to be healed. Well, they came to that service, and when I said, anyone with deaf ears, come up, there were four people that came up and stood up here, four. And two got their healing, and two did not. And I'm not going to go into all of them, but I got the backstory on the little boy that came up. He got healed. That ear opened up. And then Grandma told me the backstory. Why? For 2 weeks, he had been declaring it, and nothing would change his mind. You know, he was saying it, saying what he believed. And I believe that he captured God's attention with that. You know, we all know Mark 11:24. You know, but if you back up to Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. You know, we've heard it preached. And if so, then whoever will say to this mountain, whatever your mountain is, be removed. You know, he'll have whatever he saith, whatever he saith. So I think that first step of faith for whatever promise God has given you can be the action. James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. In Matthew 4:29, when Jesus gave Peter just one word instruction, come, Peter stepped over the side of the boat and walked on the water. He responded. He did something. So here, the river's at flood stage, the Bible says. You know, your problem, your situation might be at flood stage. Well, that's where God shows up. He shows up right in the middle of your problem. We see that in this scripture. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Hallelujah. We see this in many examples in scripture throughout the Bible. We preached this recently. I think, Pastor Lewis, you preached this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the midst of the fire, in the middle of the fire. And that's such a relevant story for us right now because remember, evil pagan king Nebuchadnezzar saw and recognized Jesus in the midst of the fire. Lord, open the eyes of President Putin to see Jesus in the midst of the fire. Amen? Amen. In the middle of the war, in Mark 6:47, in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the storm, we see Jesus delivered the disciples. In Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas, in the middle of the night, it specifically says at midnight, in the depth of that prison, God showed up. God likes to show up in the middle of your problem. So why are we worrying about problems? Because that's what attracts God, so that we can know that we know that it's God and not us. Hallelujah. So I believe, church, that first step of faith will find God in the middle of your situation. At the end of this story, we see God fulfilled his promise. The scripture says in Joshua 21:43, read it with me. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers. And they possessed it and dwelt therein. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What are we doing? We're taking territory. We're crossing over into a life of faith that's willing to declare something that the Bible says is true even before we see it or before we feel it. Well, I've still got pain, but according to the Word of God, by His stripes, I'm healed. So I can't just think it. God told Joshua, don't let that word depart from your mouth. Don't swallow it and tuck it away in your heart. Don't just let it resort to your memory. Keep declaring it. That's stepping into the water. Stepping into the water. It gets God's attention. Come on, somebody. Are we crossing over? And church, the biggest difference is, and I've heard myself saying this almost from the start of this year, we've got to stop saying God's about to do something. Instead, we're saying God's doing it. God is doing it. It's happening now. We were singing that this week with the Binions here. A lot of the songs that they've been writing is the heaven is here now. Heaven is here now. The glory of the Lord is here now. You know, faith sees a miracle looking for a home. That's a lyric that is in one of the songs that I logged away. Faith sees a miracle looking for a home. Hallelujah. Why not here? Why not in this home, in this dwelling place? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, today, I want us to consecrate ourselves. The first thing we learned today, consecrate yourself. For tomorrow, you're crossing over. I'm going to say consecrate yourself because we are crossing over. We're in the midst. I'm standing in the middle of this river. I sometimes call this the river, right up here. When you get up to the altar, you're in the middle. You might be chest deep. You know, you never know. And ankle deep, waist deep, chest deep. Go all the way. Dive in, right? But I'm standing here saying revival is here. You know, a lot of people that go to church, that come to a service like this, they say, wow, this is revival. Let's start declaring it. Revival is here. Let's start saying it. The miracles of God are happening today, not about to happen. They're happening now. Say it for yourself. God is bringing it to pass for me now. God is in me now. God is with me. It's happening now. I'm declaring it. Even if you're still in pain declaring it, you're declaring it. Faith sees a miracle. Faith sees it. Looking for a home. Hallelujah. Father, we want to humble ourselves before you today. I tell you what, let's stand. I'll have you sit back in a moment, but just stand with me. Put your hands up as an act of surrender. I'm going to give you the opportunity, everyone here, to consecrate yourself. Set yourself apart for God's purposes. Now, as we do this, God might remind you of something that He wants you to put aside out of your life. This is called repentance. It's a conversion experience. You're being converted into a more useful commodity for God's use. It's about change. God might require you to make a change when you consecrate yourself. Father, I pray that you'll look at every heart as we lift our hands now as an act of surrender. Lord, we've heard your word. We want to cross over. We want to be more useful for your use in the world today for such a time as this. So, Father, we consecrate ourselves. We want to cross over into a life of faith in Jesus' name. Father, we repent. Just say it. I repent. I humble myself before you. I invite you, Lord, come into my heart. Fill me with your spirit. Empower me. Anoint my lips to speak. Anoint my heart to obey. Give me the mind of Christ. I want a life of faith to please you in Jesus' name. Today, Lord, I am yours and you are mine. Today, Lord, I'm crossing over. Today, Lord, your promise is coming forth in my life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, mighty God. Close your eyes for a moment and just allow the Holy Spirit to call you to obedience in a particular area. God is here. Is He showing you an area that He wants to give you victory over? A promise that He wants to fulfill in your life. What are you going to start declaring about that area in your life that you want to see victory on? What's it going to sound like? I want you to make that decision here today as well in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Faith sees a miracle. See yourself on the other side of that situation. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a financial dilemma that you're in. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's some strife in your home. Whatever it is, God's promising you victory. He's promising you promotion. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to